Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Please make yourself comfortable, and if you could please pull the mic close to you.
All right.
Yes.
If you want to speak into the mic, if you would push the button, and the light, the green button should be lime green.
Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. So, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Today is Wednesday, August the 29th, 2018, and it is 2:23 p.m. And we are here today on the post-suspension hearing. It's CJC number 18-1228, and it's an inquiry concerning the Honorable Imelda Barrera out of Brooks County Judge from Valdivia, Brooks County, Texas. Before you have the commission. This is a subcommittee of the commissioners, and after we conclude this proceeding, we will take our what we've heard today back to the full commission, and the commission will decide how they want to proceed. My name is Catherine Wiley. I am the vice chair of the State Commission of Judicial Conduct. Today I am serving as chair of this panel. Before we begin, I know there are not other people here. Have you invited other people to attend, Judge Boyd?
No, ma'am.
Okay. Before, there are a few things that I need to put on the record just to make sure that if somebody walks in, we know that they've been warned and we can rewarn them if they do come in.
Okay.
You're welcome to observe. If you are a member of the media, you're welcome to observe and take written or electronic notes during this proceeding. You're prohibited from making any audio or video recordings of the proceeding, including but not limited to recording with cameras, phones, or other devices. A still photography is permissible, provided the photographs are taken before the hearing commences or after the proceedings have concluded. The hearing is being audio recorded by the agency, and a copy of that recording will be made available upon written request to the executive director of the commission. Commission members and commission staff are not authorized to discuss this or any other case. Any public comments from the commissioner from the commission will come through the chair or the executive director. We're here today at the request of Judge Imelda Barrera. She's a Brooks County judge, Valdivia, Brooks County, Texas, to conduct a post-suspension hearing pursuant to Rule 15A of the Texas Rules, Procedural Rules for Removal or Retirement of Judges. At this time, I will ask the other members who are present, other commission members who are present, to identify themselves for the record, and I will start to my left.
Derek McGill, Georgetown.
Trevor Wojtek, Lavaca County Judge.
Good afternoon. Steve Draxler, public members.
Thank you, commissioners. Judge Barrera, would you please identify yourself for the record?
Okay. Imelda Barrera, Brooks County Judge.
Thank you. You have the right to be represented by counsel, and I see that you do have counsel present with you today. Counsel, would you please state your name for the record?
Yes, ma'am. My name is Romando Solis, and I'm an attorney out of Alice, Texas.
Thank you, Mr. Solis. Judge Barrera, before we proceed, I'm going to advise you that this is a public proceeding, and anything you say or do today may be used against you in a court of law. You do have the right, you do have the right to remain silent. Knowing and understanding your rights as I've explained them to you, are you willing to proceed and answer any questions from the commission?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Judge Barrera, according to our records, you were indicted on or about July 26, 2018 by a grand jury for the 79th Judicial District Court in and for Brooks County, Texas. You were charged with a third-degree felony for tampering with or fabricating physical evidence. As of today, are you still under indictment for the offenses I just identified?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you. Is this the only criminal charge pending against you?
I have two misdemeanors that are pending against me.
Okay. Do you want to tell us what those are?
Absolutely. Resisting.
It's not necessary.
Yes.
It's entirely up to you.
Yes, it's resisting arrest and criminal mischief.
Thank you. In accordance with Article 5, Section 1A-6A of the Texas Constitution and Rule 15A of the Texas Procedural Rules for the Removal of Retirement of Judges, and because you were indicted while serving as a judge, the commission suspended you from office without pay by order issued on or about August 1st, 2018. a judge under Rule 15A, you have the burden of demonstrating at this hearing that continued service would not jeopardize the interest of parties involved in court proceedings over which the judge would you would preside, nor impair public confidence in the judiciary. That burden shall govern the scope of these proceedings. This is not an adversarial proceeding, therefore only the records and testimony received from you and on behalf of your witnesses, along with the argument of your counsel, will be considered by the commission in determining whether or not you have met your burden. Members of the public may also register their positions by completing and submitting a witness affirmation form located on the table near the entrance. Testimony from fact witnesses, character witnesses, or experts may be introduced through oral testimony or affidavits. The commission reserves the right to limit the number of witnesses who may testify should the testimony be deemed cumulative or irrelevant. Depending on the number of individuals who register to testify, the commission may limit the testimony to 5 minutes. Pursuant to Section 33.032G of the Texas Government Code, the proceeding today is public. It is also being recorded. The recording and any documents submitted as evidence today become public records upon filing with the commission. You and any member of the public are entitled to a copy of the recording and or the records at your own expense. A decision will not be made today. The recommendation of this panel will be presented to the full commission at its next regularly scheduled meeting in October of 2018. And a decision will be made at that time. The commission will notify you through your counsel whether the suspension will continue, will be continued, terminated, or modified. All those present who expect to testify in this proceeding, including you, Judge, please stand and raise your right hand to take the oath. Can you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony that you're about to give will be the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth, so help you God?
Yes.
Thank you. Counsel, Mr. Solis,
yes, ma'am.
You may proceed, sir.
Yes, ma'am, thank you. Let me make a brief statement. Madam Chairwoman, Honorable Commissioners, I want to begin by thanking you all for giving us the opportunity to come here before you guys today and correct this, what we would say.
Can I suggest something?
Yes, sir.
Okay.
Okay. Thank you very much. I definitely want to give you the thank you for giving us the opportunity to come here today before you guys and correct this wrong that's been created by what we would consider a very corrupt, politically driven district attorney's office. This matter that Judge Barrera has been indicted on, it's something that really, that we say, has been concocted by individuals that are involved. Unfortunately, some of those individuals involved are elected officials in Brooks County, and I'm not here today to really bash anybody or put anybody down, but I just kind of feel like I need to say some of that just so you all can understand exactly where we're coming from as far as our position, not only with how we feel about some of the individuals, but of course the whole matter. As you know, Judge Barrera has been indicted for a felony offense, a matter which we certainly do not agree with, and we will tell you at this time, Judge Barrera has done nothing wrong. If she did anything wrong that day, it would just be maybe perhaps she should have just walked away from the individual that was recording her and just left it alone. But like we say, hindsight is 20/20, and we can certainly sit here and look back at what went on that day and point out things that shouldn't have been done. But I will tell you, nonetheless, nothing criminal was done. There's no criminal action on behalf of Judge Barrera here that certainly would warrant an indictment. Certainly wouldn't warrant her being arrested, and certainly wouldn't warrant an indictment. I will let you know, and forgive me for really not knowing how to proceed here today. I was hoping maybe perhaps y'all could, I would encourage you all guys to ask me a number of questions to help us out, because we're here today with certainly a number of things, a lot of things we want to say, and there's definitely a lot of things that I want to say, but we don't want to leave here today leaving some things unopened, things that maybe perhaps that would make a difference to you as far as making the decision to lift the suspension. So please, I would ask y'all to please, if I do fail to bring something up that you think would make a difference to you as far as making the decision to lift the suspension, please, please ask those questions. As you know, this indictment was brought about by the district attorney's office. The district attorney's office, it's no secret to anybody in Brooks County, they're no friends of Judge Barrera. She is somebody who's, since her taking that office, she has been very vocal as far as her opinion and her opposition towards the district attorney's office, and she has every right to be because of the way they've performed their duties as district attorney there in Brooks County. If you were from the area, I think you would certainly understand. Perhaps right now you might really not really understand where I'm coming from by saying all this, but like I said, if you were from the area, you certainly would understand where I'm coming from. This matter, it was something really not something that would warrant an indictment. On this particular day, February 24, 2018, it was a Saturday during the early voting period. It's maybe, I don't know if y'all are familiar with the term Super Saturday, but down in the area of Brooks County, Super Saturday is known as a Saturday during the early election, early voting period of a primary, in which candidates are able to post outside the courthouse, do their elections and whatnot, and that's actually the only Saturday ever that you're able to vote. So it's a big thing down there. Of course, the judge wanting to maintain, keep her seat as county judge, she was up for election. She had a candidate that she was that was opposing her. Of course, she was out there all day long campaigning, trying to do, get herself reelected. Unfortunately, she encountered this individual. The individual who is identified, I guess, is identified as a victim. This particular matter is an individual by the name of Philip Robert Morones. He actually is related, well, former son-in-law to the judge, and I will tell you, it's no secret to anybody. There's some bad feelings between them, and I think the judge is definitely warranted in having those mixed feelings because this individual, former son-in-law, was abusive and very violent with her daughter during that time, and I can tell you, during that time, he's actually been has a protective order against him, has been convicted of violation of protective order. So this individual isn't exactly a good person. On this particular date, he chose to pick at the judge, and unfortunately, they've had some bad blood. This certainly wasn't the first time that they've had any heated arguments regarding whatever situation or issue may be going on between him and her daughter at the time. So that day, he certainly is an opponent. I'm a proponent of her opponent, the individual who actually won for county judge, which is Eric Ramos. On that day, he was out there campaigning for him, and I can't help but think that he did it on purpose to poke at her because he knew how to push her buttons, and he knew how he would could get her to approach him, and he was prepared. He was prepared to record her and bring this out and make her look place her in bad light. And the issue I have with that is that if you were to look at all the statements of all these individuals, there's a number of individuals that gave statements to law enforcement, number of individuals that gave statements on the day that this happened, and then about a month or so later when their Texas Ranger got involved and investigated. And if you were to look at their statements, and I do have copies of their statements, and actually what I have is copies of some of the individual statements, and actually also have a report from the Texas Ranger where he kind of summarizes his interview of these individuals. Looking at this, I don't know if y'all would be interested in looking over these statements today. I don't know if it would make any difference to you guys at all to look at these statements. I do have them here.
Do you have copies for
everybody? I don't have copies for everybody. I do have
copies.
Okay. If you would mind, yeah, I would appreciate it, sir. Yeah. And I apologize not being prepared for. I wasn't exactly sure how many committee members there would be today, and I apologize for not being prepared with that. But looking at the statement, there's a number of inconsistencies and with these individuals, so we're kind of at a loss because not really understanding how they managed to get this indictment with all the inconsistencies of these individuals. What happened that day, and just to let you know what happened, as this individual, Philip Morones, approached the judge, and how this started, she was minding her own business. The judge, she's a smoker, doesn't like to smoke cigarettes in front of everybody. So on this particular day, she said she was going to go to the area in the parking lot where nobody can see her smoking. She was standing there minding her own business. He was passing by, and he was already recording her and started saying intimidation. And he was pretty much provoking her, antagonizing her, getting her to act up. Because, like I said, he knew how to push her buttons. And sure enough, it worked. It caused, he was able to get her to approach him and confront him about what was going on the whole time. She was telling him to stop recording him, leave her alone. This is not the place, time and place for him to be acting up like that. But he wouldn't listen. I can't help but think that he did it intentionally to get her to act up in front of people so that could maybe somehow affect her adversely on her election, because it was Super Saturday. There was a number of individuals out there that day, on the day in question. And, of course, everybody was seeing what was going on. And I'll stop myself right now because I'm not too sure if y'all want or care for me to even talk about the offense and maybe try to disprove the offense and prove her innocent, or would you just like me to talk about how this particular offense or this indictment doesn't affect her her uh, her duties or her position as a Brooks County judge, as far as her serving her administrative and judicial duties as judge?
At this point, the indictment is the indictment.
I understand.
And we, at this point, we don't have enough information to do anything about the indictment. But what we do think is important is to for Judge Spadaro to explain to us why this would not interfere with her work as a judge if in fact she wasn't suspended, and also the appearance, the public appearance of her being a judge. So I think that's what we're here today for. As far as the indictment, we don't know if it's true or not true. We don't have enough information to, and that would not be our role to make that decision.
Okay.
But definitely it would be important for you to be able to prove to us if she were to continue on as a judge, how it would not impair her ability to, and the public's perception of the judiciary.
Right. And I understand, I can certainly understand and appreciate the commission's actions in suspending her, because to try to maintain an effort to try to maintain the integrity of the judiciary. However, I don't think this indictment really should affect her in her role as Brooks County judge, or her serving her duties as Brooks County judge. And we came today prepared not just to propose and ask the commission to lift her suspension completely. We're actually willing to ask the commission to just lift her suspension with regards to her judicial duties and allow her to just perform her administrative duties. And we're bringing that up right now because we certainly understand a judge, a person holding that title. What effect, I guess, an individual such as her being indicted? You know, she does preside over the county court there in Brooks County. So I can certainly see an individual coming before her, having an issue, or maybe making it an issue, the fact that he's being charged with something and he's being judged by an individual who actually has a higher charge, a felony. So I can see how maybe perhaps the community, the public, would have an issue with that. However, of course, as she stands here today, she is innocent. Just as the individuals who will go before her in court, they're innocent until proven guilty. So Judge Barrera, she stands here before you guys. She is innocent. Yes, she's been indicted, and she's being charged with a felony offense. But as she stands here today, she is innocent of this particular offense. I don't see how this particular charge would interfere with her performing her duties. I can see how maybe perhaps the public would frown upon her being able to serve as county judge, being the fact that she has an indictment against her. But I don't think it would necessarily affect her role. I've known just about it for quite some time. During this time that she served as Brooks County judge, I think she's done a great job. And we shouldn't take the fact that she lost her election as any sign that she was performing her job poorly. Because if you're familiar with Falfurrias, when you do your job right, you get you lose in your election. I'm not sure why it is that way, but it's that way. I've worked in that area for quite some time, and unfortunately, that's just the way the things are in that area. So certainly, I do believe that she definitely wouldn't allow this to affect her. I don't think that this would definitely wouldn't have her treat anybody any differently as far as her serving on the bench as the judge and performing her judicial duties. I certainly don't think it would affect her in performing her administrative duties. As you know, as the county judge, she is the administrator of the county. She's responsible for overseeing pretty much the day-to-day operations of the county and making sure everybody's falling within budget, among a number of other duties that she holds. And I don't see how this particular indictment would affect her. Certainly it has affected her as far as, it certainly weighs heavily on her, the fact that she's been accused of this offense. She's a 55-year-old woman, gone an entire life without ever being accused of a crime, and now she hears 55 years old, she finds herself indicted for a felony offense. Again, I can see why it would weigh on her, but I don't think it would affect her abilities to perform her duties as administrative judge. There's certainly nothing about it that certainly shouldn't give anybody reason to think that she would maybe perhaps do something wrong just because she's been indicted by this offense as far as her performing her duties. I certainly would, if you would want to hear from her, I think she would probably maybe better explain whether or not this would affect her in her role as judge.
That's your call to make, whatever, if you want to ask her questions or it's your call totally.
Yes, ma'am. Why not, Judge? And you are the Brooks County Judge, is that correct?
Yes, sir.
And how long have you served as Brooks County Judge?
Since 2015.
All right. And Judge, you have administrative duties and you have judicial duties, is that correct?
Correct.
All right. Tell us a little bit about some of your duties as administrative duties as a Brooks County Judge.
Okay. I oversee the budget, of course. I also, the grants, any grants that come in, I mean, it's nonstop. Since the day the morning I walk in, it's nonstop until 5 o'clock. Well, 24 hours nonstop. All types of administrative duties, whether our numbers are up to get, our DPS numbers are up, our criminal cases that have been reported, you know, we have to be on task on that, make sure that we report them so that we can get grants. I oversee also, I sit as the chair for the juvenile department, and that's very important. I do both misdemeanor and juvenile court cases. I also do probate. Brooks County is, the population is about 5,000, 6,000 people. So the county judge has many hats. There's, of course, I sit on numerous boards where, you know, as far as workforce is concerned, Coastal Plains Commission, everything that has to do with administrative duties there, decisions every day, anything from what shall we do with our budget this year to, of course, making numerous enemies because when you say no, it's usually nobody likes you after you say, no, you can't do that. That's not right. But, yes, a lot of administrative duties, including where I have one staff and myself. And between both of us, we take care of everything in the county and oversee everything.
You did mention you also have judicial duty. You oversee the misdemeanors in the county court. Is that correct?
Yes.
And, of course, you serve as the judge in the county court.
Yes.
All right. And you have a number of individuals that go before you with pending criminal charges. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right. Now, you understand that your role as a judge is to ensure fairness to the defendant.
Absolutely.
Correct? You actually never, I guess if the individual goes before you and pleads before you, then at that point you do have to make the decision what the individual's punishment is, correct?
Yes.
But any individual that goes before you certainly has an opportunity, has a right to a jury trial by jury.
Absolutely.
Right? So they don't necessarily have to go before you and allow you to make the decision whether guilt and innocence and their punishment. Is that correct?
Correct.
A jury can very well make that decision as guilt and innocence and their punishment too.
Correct.
Right. So really, I mean, the fact that you've been indicted shouldn't affect or shouldn't really have any kind of effect on you performing your judicial duties. Is that correct?
Correct.
All right. And you would not allow this to affect your performance of your judicial duties?
No, I would not allow. I would not allow it because, elaborate a little bit, I'm not guilty of what has been alleged. If I was guilty, I'd be the first one, given my background, as far as growing up poor, very poor, and values that were instilled in us, three in the family, my father would always say, you ever end up in jail, don't even call us. We're not going to get you. You know, that's your problem. Now, so we grew up very strict family environment. So all my life, I did not, there's choices you make, and I always walked a straight line regardless. I'm not guilty of what's been alleged. I think it's been fabricated. I believe it's been fabricated. All because, for whatever political reasons, when we did our budget, myself in the commissioner's court, I did a lot of cuts when we came in. We did a lot of cuts. And perhaps that made a lot of people uneasy with me because I'm very straightforward and I will use statute and I'm fair. I will use statute every time before I make a decision, and I will point it out, whether it's commissioner's court, whether it's county court, I do my research because I don't want to be wrong, and I don't want to make a mistake. And then to have this put on me has been very difficult for me. I'm very fair, extremely fair, probably that's why I'm here, because I'm very fair to everyone. I've never said, okay, well, I'm going to do this, and it's not right. No. I went into office as first female county judge ever in the history of Brooks County. I set out with goals. You know, we need to get this county back in financial, excellent financial shape, and doing cuts was a major impact on a lot of the county employees. But sometimes you have to do what is right. But, of course, it's perceived as wrong. But fair and straightforward, yes, I can absolutely be straightforward, be fair to any individual before me, regardless of what has happened. Because if I was guilty, I myself would have stepped down. If not, I've been with his for about the last 4 or 5 months dealing with it, you know, hoping things will change. And very surprised at what I have been able to find out on what has transpired since I got indicted. And throughout my life, like, I never for once believed or even thought that this would happen to me. I said, you know, yes, I'm this type of judge. I'm, you know, this is what I'm going to set out to be. I want to build a better Brooks County. But along the way, the other individuals that I worked with did not see my vision. And for that reason, I strongly believe that they have taken, there has been a lot of animosity towards me, because when you do the right thing, and they've been doing the wrong thing for a very long time, it's upsetting to them, because you kind of rattle their cage. And not kind of, you do rattle their cage. And if it's wrong, I'm not going to go along with it, because it's wrong. That's what I was taught. If you start being wrong, you start going along with these individuals that are wrong, you're going to be just like them. When I won my election, I went through 3 elections, a primary, a runoff, and a write-in. So I said to myself, I'm going to do my 4 years, and I'm going to do them right. I'm going to do it the correct way. I don't want to be known as the judge that did everything wrong just to stay in office. I'd rather do 4 years of right by the people of Brooks County and the taxpayers, and the ones that come before me in court, then leave office being wrong. And that's why I'm here, because I'm not going to leave, I refuse to leave that office and people believing that what I did was actually a criminal act. And it's not. It's not. I would be the first one to say, okay, I did wrong. I'm stepping down.
And since then, you know, since this incident happened, have you grown any resentment towards anybody or law enforcement or the district attorney's office or the criminal justice system, period?
No.
All right. So that would not affect you?
That would not affect me.
You wouldn't enter the court with any resentment towards anybody and wanting to do, unleash any frustration or anger you have towards another individual that goes before you?
Right. I would not. I would have to be fair, because I put myself, now that I'm on the other side of the bench, I want fairness, and that's not what I'm seeing. And it's been very difficult, and I know that these individuals that come before me will always have fairness before me. And I set out to help them. When I do my court, I will ask whether it's a juvenile or an older adult, because everyone has problems. Everyone that is before a court, whether a criminal or a juvenile each one has a problem, and, you know, they're caught stealing because they needed drug money or they needed this or whatever the situation is. So, yes, now more than ever, I can put myself in their shoes, and I always have. And I've always been an advocate to do the right thing for the people.
Now, and since then, it's been 6 months now, I mean, since this happened. I mean, and this has do you believe this has affected your ability to perform your duties as county judge?
No. I can pick up where I left off, because that was my passion, to be a county judge. and I made it happen. And the reason I'm here today and the reason all this has happened is because I refuse to let them sit. I refuse to leave office with the people thinking that, oh, my gosh, she did wrong. And no, I did not do wrong. And I can perform any task as a judge. When I went back the second time, I was indicted. First time, within a week and a half, I was re-indicted. They did a special grand jury meeting to re-indict me. And so I went back to work for 2 weeks, maybe not even a complete 2 weeks. I was re-indicted. So I was, of course, suspended by the Judicial Commission. And all of the cases that I've seen that have gone through there, all the other elected officials, well, you know, they're either dismissed or, and I'm not saying that's right or wrong, whether an official should have that luxury. But, you know, when you do wrong, you deserve punishment. And when you haven't done anything wrong, then you should be let go. You should be free. And this indictment is really nonsense, in my opinion.
And I may elaborate a little bit on what the judge is saying with respect to the issue she has with her being indicted and other elected officials. She's probably maybe the first elected official that I'm aware of that has ever been indicted in Brooks County, at least by a Brooks County grand jury or the district attorney in Brooks County. There's been a number of individuals that have been investigated by the Texas Rangers here in Brooks County here in the recent past, and they've actually been arrested. I'm talking about a justice of the peace that was arrested for theft. Case was presented to the grand. It was presented to the district attorney's office. Nothing was ever done. They didn't even present it to the grand jury. Another JP investigated for theft by the Texas Rangers. That case was turned over to the district attorney's office. They did nothing. They never even presented it to the grand jury. A Falfurrias PD officer investigated and arrested for sexual assault of a child by the Texas Rangers. Arrested by the Texas Rangers. That case was turned into the district attorney's office in Brooks County. That case was never even presented to the grand jury. The district attorney's mother-in-law's boyfriend investigated by the Texas Ranger for theft. That case was turned in. He was arrested and turned in. And when I point out arrested because obviously the Rangers who investigated these offenses felt that there was certainly enough there that in their findings and their investigation to arrest these people. And he turned these cases to the district attorney's office with the expectation that those cases would be prosecuted. Those cases, none of those cases I just mentioned were ever even presented to the grand jury. But we have Imelda Barrera here, who's been very vocal and wanting to let her community know, the Brooks County people know, just, you know, exactly how corrupt and that district attorney's office is. Oh, she gets indicted within months. And not only does she get indicted within months of this particular offense, after we get the indictment dismissed for a motion to quash, they don't wait. Even though the first assistant stated to the visiting judge at that time that they were going to, if the case was going to be quashed, they were going to present the case at their next grand jury sitting on August 31st. No, they didn't wait till August 31st. August 31st and until a couple more days. They didn't wait for that. No, they waited. The very next week, they called in the grand jury and said, hey, we need you. You come in here. They didn't present any other case other than Judge Barrera's case. And I want to bring all that up just so you'll know, maybe a little stand a little bit better when I say about the politics. You know, we definitely feel that this is politically driven. Like I said, I've pointed out a number of individuals, elected officials, who've been arrested. The Texas Ranger that investigated her case, he didn't arrest her. And if there was enough findings there in his investigation to warrant him getting a warrant for arrest, I'm pretty sure he would have acted on it and he would have gotten a warrant for arrest. But I do want to point out that the Texas Ranger did not arrest her. He simply turned the case in, reflecting his findings to the district attorney's office. District attorney then at that point, of course, took it upon themselves to present this case that the Texas Rangers turned in, this elected official the Texas Rangers investigated, to the grand jury. There's a lot behind it, you know, that unfortunately that the commission is not aware of. And I'm pretty sure you probably don't want me to get into all that because, like I said, the burden here is really to show whether or not the judge is this indictment will affect her review and perform her duties as Brooks County judge. But I just feel compelled to bring that up because it's nonsense. This whole thing is nonsense, the fact that this indictment has been returned against her. And if you look at some of these statements, I believe you've been provided with some of these statements, you'll see. And as you look at these statements, you know, again, I thought maybe perhaps I might have an opportunity to try to disprove this offense, so I thought I'd just bring up, made copies of some of the statements. You'll look at some of these statements, and you might be able to pick up on some of the inconsistencies of the statements of these witnesses that the district, the district attorney would consider their star witnesses. Main one, the judge's ex-son-in-law. You know, there's issues between them already. There's another individual, Ray Mejia, who is the owner of the phone, and another female. There's another, you'll see their statements, and as you look through it, you're going to pick up on the inconsistencies. What the judge was indicted on was for, they claimed that she intentionally and knowingly destroyed a phone, knowing that an investigation for assault was going on, she intentionally and knowingly destroyed a phone with the intent of impairing its availability as evidence in the investigation. I've obtained all the discovery from the district attorney's office. Nowhere in there does it ever mention that anybody was charged with an assault. And to this day, nobody has been charged with an assault, but yet the indictment reflects that there was an investigation of an assault going on at that time. We're a little confused as to, and that was part of the reason why the court granted our first motion to quash and dismissed the indictment, because he agreed that their indictment was defective. Now, the district attorney's office managed to get another indictment, and I feel it's still defective, and I'm going to be presenting another motion to quash before the court at our next pretrial setting. Unfortunately, the DA's office has managed to get the court to push these settings back so far back that probably by the time we get to trial, and I doubt we'll ever get to trial because I know what's going to happen, the district attorney's office has managed to get the commission to suspend her. They're hoping that the suspension stays until the end of her term, which is at the end of December. I guarantee you, we are set for trial in November, but I guarantee you, come November, if the suspension has not been lifted, they're going to ask for a continuance, and they're going to ask for this trial date to be pushed back past the new year, once she's already out of office. And at that point, I'm more than certain that they would dismiss this case against her, because at that point, they've already accomplished their goal. They've had her removed from office for the remainder of her term. For whatever reason, I don't know. I can't help but think there's certainly some bad things going on. I just can't point those out. And I know we're not here to talk about that, or really that's, you may not necessarily be concerned about that. But please understand, we feel a little compelled to bring all that up because we do believe all this has something to do with this indictment coming forward. You know, you look at the indictment, she's being charged with, you know, this assault, no mention of an assault. You know, and there's inconsistencies about that. One witness says that the judge's husband struck this individual. One witness says that this group of people jumped the judge's husband to keep him from punching this individual. And the individual that supposedly got punched himself says, he pushed me. He never once mentioned that he was struck. You know, these other witnesses, one witness will say that the judge knocked the phone out of this individual's hand. Another person will say the judge grabbed the phone out of this individual's hand. The individual himself that was holding the phone stated that the phone fell out of my hand when the judge's husband pushed me. There's a lot of things there that definitely don't match up. You know, fortunately, we'll have an opportunity to clear this up before when we get to trial. If we even get to trial, like I said, I kind of already foresee what their plan is. So we're hoping today this commission would seriously consider lifting suspension. Like I said, we understand, you know, you might have some concern about how the public may perceive a judge who's under indictment serving as judicial judge and proceeding over or presiding over misdemeanors. But if y'all would at least consider allowing her to continue to perform her administrative duties, I think that would be the best thing for the citizens of Brooks County. The judge has done a great job as Brooks County. Again, don't think just because the fact that she lost her election, what should reflect on her performance as Brooks County judge and her performing her duties. I would ask that y'all seriously, seriously consider lifting the suspension, at the very least lifting her suspension with respect to the administrative duties.
I also want to point something out. The second time I got indicted, I talked to the DA, the assistant DA, and the Texas Ranger, and I handed them a letter that my attorneys had written out for me, and I told them that I wanted to testify. And it says, "Dear Mr. Garcia, this law firm continues to represent Brooks County Judge Imelda Barrera. The purpose of this letter is to inform you that if Judge Barrera's case is again presented to another grand jury for reindictment, my client wishes to testify before said grand jury members. Please inform me of the date, place, and time when the next grand jury in Brooks County meets, and if you intend to present evidence for re-indictment against her so my client may be present to testify. I would also like a copy of the list of the current Brooks County grand jurors to determine where to challenge the array under CCP Article 19.30, Texas Code of Criminal Procedures. Sincerely, Armando Barrera. And this is from the Barrera and Solis Law Firm. Well, this was done July 23rd. I got indicted July 27th. I went upstairs. I was at work then. And I gave him the assistant DA. I said, I want you to have this in case you didn't get it. And automatically he said, I don't want to talk to you. I'm like, I know. But I just wanted to see this. When the DA came in, Carlos Omar Garcia, and the Texas Ranger, I handed them this letter, which they already had received, because the attorneys had already sent to them. I said, I'll be here all day long. I am willing to testify. They need to know what actually happened. I did not get an opportunity to do this. Going back to how fair can I be? Well, I got to start with myself, you know, in order to present to the people of Brooks County that, you know, I can be, if I can't be a liar and a cheater and manipulative to the people of Brooks County, because they're going to see that here I am trying to do this for myself to set the record straight. And if, as a judge, you have to be a judge, not it comes from your home to your work to the person you're being judged, to the person that's being judged. So do enough fairness, and because I'm straightforward and I don't like to lie, because eventually a lie, you have to lie again if you're going to lie the first time. I don't like to lie, and for the people of Brooks County to see, you know, that something is definitely wrong with the district attorney's office and not letting me testify, because I don't think a defendant that is guilty would ever testify. I've yet to seen it, but I'm not guilty, and I'm willing to testify, and I was not given the opportunity.
This is quite unusual. I was a prosecutor for 10 and a half years, and in my whole time as a prosecutor, I've never seen a defendant voluntarily come forward to want to testify before the grand jury. As a matter of fact, any attorney would probably strongly urge her client against testifying before the grand jury, but she, of course, knowing that she did nothing wrong, she presented herself there, and she made herself available. Her office is downstairs from where the grand jury met. She let them know that she would make herself available to subject herself to any line of questioning that the grand jury wants to pose to her. But no, I'm sure they knew that wouldn't suit their purpose, that wouldn't help them out get this indictment, and they just simply ignored her request to go before the grand jury. And now we are here before today. Fortunately, you all did give us the opportunity to come before you all and speak.
Mr. Solis,
yes, ma'am.
I understand that you brought a video for us to see. Is that something that you would...
Ma'am, you know, and I do have the video. At this point, you all let me know if you want to see it again. I wasn't too sure whether I need to come prepared to maybe perhaps try to disprove this offense and prove the judge's innocence. The video is actually an individual, I would refer to him as an uninterested person, because these other individuals that I mentioned earlier, that Ray Mejia, Philip Robert Morones, Chelsea Perez, all these individuals are individuals that were lined up with the judge's opponent. This individual was an individual, Mr. Michael Sosa, the person that's on this interview that I was thinking about playing, is an individual that just showed up this particular day to vote. And he got involved because at the time that this incident happened, when the phone fell out of Philip Robert Morones' hands, it fell by his tire. And that was the reason the judge picked it up, because it fell by his tire. You can see in the video that the cameras is facing his tire. So the judge simply picked it up, and within a matter of seconds, somebody came up to her, and it's really... don't know, because some people are saying that somebody slapped it out of her hand. Some people are saying that she threw it. You know, and again, we're not here to determine what exactly happened. But this individual, the only reason I was going to play it was just to, so you can hear from this individual, an uninterested person, somebody who has no bias for or against the judge or against the other side, the district attorney's office, or any of the individuals involved. And basically his statement was going to reflect that what he saw
parked right next to where this happened. The judge did nothing wrong. Nothing, certainly nothing that would warrant her being indicted or have any kind of criminal charges brought against her. So at this point, I mean, knowing now that, that's really not something you want to hear, I will abandon any intent to present that to you guys. Unless you all want to hear it, I'll play it, but I don't know at this point. It would make at this point.
Yeah, I don't, the underlying case on the indictment, I don't think that that's something that we need to hear today.
Yes, ma'am, I understand. Okay. I understand.
Do you have any other questions for your client, Ms. Solis?
Would you, if the commission were to just lift your suspension with respect to your administrative duties, would you have any issue with just performing your administrative duties and refraining from performing your judicial duties?
No, that would be absolutely okay with me. Getting back to work would be amazing, just doing administrative work. This 6 months have been terrible. I actually picked up something that I left a long time ago. 27 years ago, I got my my degree from Texas A&I University in Kingsville. And I said, I have worked all my life since I was 12, before child labor laws came in. And it's been very difficult staying at home. So I said, you know, I need to do something constructive. So I picked up 12 hours of graduate studies to finish something I had left unfinished back in 1991, I believe it was. I don't remember anymore. But yes, I definitely need to get back to work. I believe that all this was done intentionally so that they went ahead and they appointed someone. Well, the one that won the election, they appointed him as a judge. So he's there right now. It's been very difficult, of course, you know, because I have been a small town, and of course, everyone's going to convict you and before saying, okay, yeah, it could have been like this. But, you know, I would love to get back to work. That was my passion. That's where I wanted to be. This happened, I'm a firm believer in things happen for a reason. Things happen for a reason because something needs to be found out. The only one that can judge us here is obviously the good Lord that knows what happened. But something has to be, something good has to come out of this, because when they indicted me, I wasn't expecting it, because I did nothing wrong. I continued my my duties just like I have before, 8 to 5 o'clock, even after 5, whatever needed to be done, you know, I did my duties to the best of my ability and did everything I could for Brooks County. And however, you know, staying at home was something I just didn't want to do. So I picked up some college courses, and I said, you know, while this plays out, I need to get back to some individuals that kind of, you know, think like I do. You know, there's some intelligence, some, you know, we call it compadres, comadres, you know, that can relate to, you know, everyone. Something happens to a lot. Good things happen, bad things happen to good people, and I'm one of them. And as a matter of fact, I told my attorney, you know, after I get this schooling done, which will be sometime next year, I plan on writing a book. And but I'm sure I'm looking at the title of On Both Sides of the Bench, because I hear about every day in the news, oh, well, after 30-something years, this man is free because of DNA or this or that. And it's difficult because I never thought I would be in this position. But, yes, I'm willing to go back to work. I want to finish my term. I want to finish successfully.
And since your suspension, since you were suspended, in fact, you were suspended without pay, right?
Yes.
So you have suffered some harm as of now, right? Because you are
absolutely
without any income.
Yes, absolutely.
Right? I don't have any other questions of the judge.
Okay. Thank you. At this time, I'll ask the commissioners if they have any questions. I'll start with Mr. Doctorow.
Thank you.
Judge, are you aware of any, your budget process when you were suspended, it probably just barely got started.
Yes.
Has there been any significant change to your, to the county's budget with the new judge in place or without you in place, I guess, never mind?
Yes. As a matter of fact, I read in the newspaper where they're raising taxes 3 or 4 cents, you know, a little bit higher. I was always against raising taxes because that it we're a rural town with very limited resources. I knew we were overspending, you know. Brooks County almost went into a financial bankruptcy back in 2010 for covered conduct on the county judge because they were using grant money for raises, which is, of course, not acceptable. So they owed $1 million. Well, actually, they brought it down to $1 million. It was a lot more. But there has been a lot of different changes there. Everything that I advocated for, it's no longer, it doesn't matter anymore. Raising of taxes, the betterment of Brooks County, the people of Brooks County. I've even had some individuals tell me, you know, it's not the same there. You know, we would go to your office, you would guide us, give us resources. You know, you have to go apply over here, and I would kind of guide them. And so I have a personal relationship with every single person, and I consider personal relationship because I grew up there and I know everyone. But yes, a lot of significant changes.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. That's all the questions.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, no questions.
I just have one final question in regard to folks that would come before you in your court. What do you think that their perception of a judge would be if they knew that judge was under indictment? Do you think that because you are under indictment that the public's perception of your role means that they would not get a fair opportunity in front of you?
I don't believe that. I believe that they know who I am. They've known me a long time, and they know that, you know, I'm about being straightforward and using and of course, applying the law the correct way. And they also know the background of the situation on how where we are now. The people in Brooks County are very humble, and the ones that get in trouble are the individuals that are not financially stable. And as a judge, I've always, you know, gone that further step when they come to my court, especially the ones with drug problems. Is there anything we can help you? My questions have always been, how can we help you? If you are, we're giving you your probation or whatever the an example, right? How can we help you complete this successfully? Because I want you to tell me what you cannot do as this conditions of probation. And I'm fair to everyone. I need, for me, because of my background, I have a sociology, psychology degree. So it's always about helping the individual. Every crime happens because there's some other type of problem going on. So I want to target that problem and get them in the right direction. So, yes. Sorry, yes.
If there are no further questions.
Would you mind if I were just to add a little bit to that question? I know the question yes. was posed to the judge, but and I can understand the commission being concerned about the judge and then the public perception of her and her position. But the judge's role in a criminal court, of course, is to, you know, of course, protect the defendant's rights and ensure fairness to the defendant. I can see why maybe perhaps people would start saying stuff and saying, oh, she's a judge, she shouldn't be up there, whatever. But really, when it comes down to it, an individual, the judge doesn't necessarily judge every individual that goes before her because that every individual that goes before her in her court has the right to a jury trial. And so that jury, not the judge, decides whether they're guilty or innocent, and that person, that jury decides the person's punishment. So really, at no point, the judge might never even have a role or a decision in any anybody's criminal case. unless, of course, they were wanting to plead to the judge. And I would assume, and I'm pretty sure in saying that she certainly would be fair to these individuals. But if anybody has any question, ask for a jury trial. Ask to go to a jury. The judge really is there to ensure fairness. And if somebody pleads guilty, well, she's there to accept their plea of guilty. And she doesn't necessarily judge them because at that point, they've already gone to the judge with a plea agreement on behalf of the state, whether it be the county attorney, district attorney. So at that point, the judge is just making sure everything is fair for the defendant. If he's willing to take 180 days in jail or a year in probation, she's going to give him the year in jail, 180 days in jail, a year probation, because that's what he agreed to. I don't think any of this should cause anybody concern as far as the judge making bad decisions in her position as her judicial duties.
Okay. If there are no other questions, okay. Thank you, Judge Barrera.
Thank you.
And also, Mr. Solis. And at this time, the hearing is now adjourned, and it is